This is a podcast recording for The Nature of Things. This podcast was initially recorded September 16th, 1988.
I grew up in an era when the birds of prey, hawks and owls, had few adherents. Outside of the National Geographic, Nature magazine, bird lore and natural history, which weren't a part of the mainstream literature, few periodicals would even publish articles favorable to any predatory creature. Most people classed them as vermin, sure that they alone were the perpetrators of all doom for songbirds and game species, and the byword then was, the only good hawk is a dead hawk. As a budding conservationist schooled by Cornell to understand the role of predation in the natural world, I found myself often assailed by hunters who thought of me as an impractical dreamer who needed to be educated about the facts of life. We were the liberals of our day. Predator control was akin to national defense, and the red-tailed hawk was the enemy. We've gone through quite an evolution in thought and in national purpose relative to hawks and owls in the last few decades. But make no mistake about it, there is still a strong residual of anti-predator sentiment, both in the general public and even in the halls of conservation. I offer the following observations for the consideration of all those who might count themselves a part of that remnant. The red-tailed hawk is the commonest, or at least the most visible, of our avian predators. Normally, any large, dark-looking bird you may observe sitting upright at the summit of a tree or a dead snag bordering highway or byway will prove upon close examination to be a red-tail. As it sits upright, it measures from head to tail just under 20 inches. When it takes off in more active pursuit of its prey, it reveals a wingspan of about 2 feet. The adult red tail has two telltale identification marks, its burnt sienna-colored tail, and a breastband of dark brown streaks bisecting its whitish shirt front. Otherwise, it is mottled or streaked umber above. The immature red tail may be somewhat confusing to the novice bird watcher because it has a banded rather than a red-brown tail, but it still displays the characteristic dark breastband and flanks. Red tails show a distinct preference for open hunting territories, especially farmland. This may relate as much as anything to their hunting style, which is watch, soar, descend upon prey. Their diet is cosmopolitan, including mammals, especially rodents, birds, reptiles, and some insects. In a lifetime of observing hits and misses by red tails, I would rate them as relatively inept at bird hunting, as compared to their skill in rodent hunting. Still, I've seen them struggle and miss or lose their prey many times. In one summer working at the Ithaca Game Farm, I observed many attempts by red tails to capture young pheasants. Even when a fairly sure hit was made and many pheasant feathers flew, the hawk sometimes lost its quarry, leaving a slashed and bruised and hopefully wiser victim. Shrub cover turns out to be very effective in protecting pheasants, as did the cut evergreens put out to provide shade to otherwise treeless holding fields. The hawk is agile enough, but it has difficulty navigating a tangle of leaves and branches which pose little or no obstacle to the smaller prey. Even at the game farm, it was my observation that the few red tails which managed to survive long there probably earned their small harvest of pheasants by killing rats and mice, which ate substantial amounts of the food put out for the pheasants. This observation never impressed the boss, however. For him, every pheasant represented dollars spent on food and care, and there was no valid research to show that rodent control paid for pheasants killed. Despite a real admiration for hawks and owls on his part, his job was to protect his charges, some 25 to 30,000 annually. He handed me a shotgun and said, "Kill." If I was too slow about the task, and I usually was, he took over for me with some good-natured comment about my tender heart. Fine man, actually, whom I admired even more than I did the hawks and owls. For all of this predilection for open hunting ground, the red tail prefers a small woodlot for nesting. Often it remodels an old nest, sometimes as much as 60 feet up, either in hardwoods or in substantial pines. Its brown speckled dirty white eggs are incubated for 28 days, and the young when hatched show are fuzzy balls, which outside of bills and feet show little of the fierce demeanor they will eventually acquire. The red tail is a bird of estimable presence, and it needs no balance of so-called good or bad habits to justify its protection. It is indeed one of the finest and most exquisitely crafted of all God's creatures, beautiful either in flight or at rest. In the basic terms by which all nature should be judged, neither grouse nor pheasant is more worthy. That's all I have for this week. This is John Weeks saying thanks for listening. Tune in next week and keep it natural.